Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Friday is around the corner. People waking up early to fight large crowds. And for what? To save $20, $40, maybe even $100? Here's another way you could spend your Black Friday. Sleep in. Then go to the Canopy Group's website at thecanopygroup.com and request a quote on your home and auto insurance. No long lines, no tug of war with merchandise, only better insurance coverage at an average savings of over $800 annually. Then take your $800 savings and have your own Black Friday, maybe the following Wednesday. That'd be good. This savings will continue every year as the Canopy Group's 40 professionals shop your coverage with their 16 companies. Canopy saves you money year in and year out. Imagine the great gifts you can buy with $800. Go to thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389. And get the best coverage for the best price in the comfort of your own home.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, we always knew that the Vikings would go in and play the Chargers and beat them. You and I had faith the entire time.
Damn it. The football whisperer, I think, did say last week that he expected a real down performance from this team because of all the emotional defeats they had. And then I think during the week, after the Dalvin Cook mess and other things, you just expected it was really a bad vibe. But Zim told us this team fights, and guess what? He was right, because they played really well Sunday. Everybody's very fired up about the aggressive approach on offense, but I thought the defense was fantastic when you consider the guys that are missing, that they, you know, they gave this kid a hard time. Herbert didn't make many plays against him at all, and you and I were talking a little bit beforehand. And defensively, the Chargers don't tackle anybody, which helps, too.
Yes. Yeah. They so I think the starting point that I liked is it took 10 weeks, but they finally let Kirk take some chances, or Kirk decided to, and got the ball to Jefferson.
But he had no pressure, really. Nothing. No sizable pressure.
Actually, Phil said it came in at 40%.
Well, what's pressure?
Pressure. How many times did he get hit? But Jefferson,
I bet he didn't get hit.
But Jefferson was covered, and he still threw him the ball, which is the most important thing. You've got to. He can make those throws, and more importantly, Jefferson's the best receiver I think gifted wise since Moss here,
probably
including Diggs, and I like Diggs a lot.
That one they threw down the sideline late in the game that he made that catch on was like the biggest play of the game.
Yep,
there were other plays too, but that was to me that you know. L.A. had just moved the ball, was going to, you know, they decided to kick the field goal, and it looked like they were going to get the ball back, and Jefferson made that catch, and then that they went from there. But they were the pretty much dominant all afternoon, I thought. I mean, the Rams never looked – I mean, the Chargers never looked like they had control of that game to me at all. So they were – I don't know. They aren't very good. I mean, defensively, they're not good, and they let you run the ball on them. And,
they definitely do that.
Their offensive line is, considering who they were blocking yesterday. Poor old Linville Joseph's got to play every play pretty much in there.
He must be absolutely cooked, right?
Yeah.
By this point.
He made one big play at the end there, but it was a good win for him. And now, Packers looked terrible yesterday playing against inept, Seattle. I mean, you look at it and say, well, they were conservative because they knew Seattle couldn't do anything against their defense. That's not true. They, you know, against a bad Seattle defense, I watched quite a bit of the game. They didn't do anything. They were terrible. And, you know, they don't look sharp at all. And the Packers are coming in here next Sunday. They got to score in the 20s to win that game because the Vikings will. Now that they've found something, you got to think that they're going to move the ball much better than they have at home previously. Mm-hmm. The thing you wonder about is, are they going to stink it out at home again? They've been terrible at home.
I know. It's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, I don't either. But they should be a turf team, too. I mean, the skill position players and everything. But the Packers' defense is, this is probably the best defense they've had in how long? Even considering the injuries they've had.
There. Super Bowl year, maybe?
Yeah.
Now was that 2010, right?
Kenny Clark hurt? Is he hurt?
That I don't know.
He was.
But he's been banged up a lot throughout the last few years.
But they're good defensively, but Rodgers was not sharp at all, and he only missed a week. Now, I know they didn't practice all week, but as vulnerable as that Seattle defense is, and they lost Aaron Jones, too. So he's got a sprained MCL, which means a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Dylan is a load, but he's not a guy you want to have to play every down. He's not. He can't do what Aaron Jones does. So, you know, all of a sudden, as I've been saying all year, it's not getting late early. It's getting late this year because you're, 9-8, you got a 50% chance to be in the playoffs.
Oh, with the 7th seed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seed's going to go to a bad team.
Yes. At 9-8, I don't think it's going to be 10-7.
Yep.
Don't think it's going to take 10-7. And once they play the Packers, they got the Bears twice. I don't care. Nobody, stop giving me that crap about Soldier Field and how they've played down there. The Bears are terrible.
They got the Lions again.
They have the Lions in Detroit. That'll be fun.
Nice tie yesterday.
Yeah, they did. A courageous tie. And then, so they got those three, and they got a bunch of other easy games. It's, I don't even think they have to beat the Packers to be a playoff team. I think they
got to beat them once, right? Probably.
Yeah.
Not twice.
No, they're not going to beat them twice.
Yeah.
They got to go.
I think you need to win one of the two against the Packers.
Yeah.
Because you should sweep the Bears. You're right about that. And Detroit, you should beat again.
Hey, we're already dominantly the second team in the NFC North already.
Yes.
Second all alone. So, boy, it's a fun division to be in annually.
It's a gift.
The Bears are good twice every decade, right? The Lions are good zero times every decade.
The Lions are, yes.
So it's the Packers or the Vikings every year. But you know what kind of surprises me? Harrison Smith leaves and they haven't missed him.
Mm-mm.
This kid, whoever he is.
This kid's made more plays.
And by the way, we were giving them only 2-3 weeks ago, I think the Star Tribune had a piece on how they were getting less out of their young players than any team in the league, and they were. Their draft. On defense, they've had to play some of these guys, and they've been okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so, they were a good-looking team yesterday, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks like quite a stadium Stan Kroenke built for himself with that Walmart money. So all you Walmart shoppers who go in there and think you're getting a great deal on prices, they're still making a profit. That stadium indicates to me they're still making a profit.
Yeah, I think they're doing fine, don't you?
Yes, that's right.
Man, is he a despicable human being.
But the good thing is, as I've said before, he now has his own bathroom, so he doesn't have to have security guards.
Greatest thing I've ever covered.
So he's at TCF Bank.
Can't go in the bathroom.
Can't, because they were afraid Jim Thomas from the same. St. Louis was going to follow him in there and ask him some questions.
He hadn't talked to the St. Louis press in like 4 years or something, right?
Well, since they announced the move, he wouldn't.
And so they would have his security guard stand outside the bathroom door while he took the whiz, so that we, God forbid, somebody went in.
Yes. So, I was, you know me, I'm neutral at best about the Vikings because I've never been a big fan of the organization, and I'm not anymore. But I'm rooting for Zim.
Are you?
I see the young guys, not saying anything, just no emotion, just all crap. I want Zim. I want Zim to stick around for 2-3. Because you got to realize, winning and losing makes no difference to me.
Right.
Who's a character?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yes.
And who's a character?
Yes. And it creates the potential for turmoil.
Yes, Zim creates right. that we potential. Don't come in here. There's dissension in here. But Zim has been... He's been a different guy the last month. That's all positive. He feels his job is, he knows his job's in jeopardy.
Yes.
So he's just blowing smoke at everybody, no matter what. You know, he gets in trouble for the "it is what it is" quote with Dalvin Cook, but you know, he could have put that better. But
but that was pretty quick, though.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, comes off the top of his head. I can't vilify him for that. But I'm rooting for Zim. Come on, Zim. Make the playoffs. You don't have to have a long trip, and you probably won't. But
yeah, and I think he's gone if they don't. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt of that.
But, yeah, he's a character.
I don't think, not only do you and I not have any doubt of that, he doesn't have any doubt of that when you watch him.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good win. A good win. Chargers. It was odd hearing these response to successful Viking plays, though. It was as loud for when the Vikings made a play as when the Chargers made a play.
Vikings fans travel now,
but
so well.
But you also have 10,000 transplants.
Sure,
you know.
Sure, but I'm just saying.
In L.A., yeah, they do
at road games now. I started on a beat in 2005. And they had some, but nothing like this.
No.
Now it's most games.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's not Buffalo or
right.
It's not Buffalo or some of those places, but they do move. Yeah.
Packer fans have all, you know, for years, and it felt like the Vikings had their hardcore fans who traveled, but now it's a large, large contingent.
Randball told me about friends of his who went to the hockey game in Vegas on Thursday.
Yep.
Where our boys twice failed to convert on 5-3. How does that happen?
And a 6-4, yeah.
They lost that game. And then Friday and Saturday, Wolves games at Staples Center.
Oh, no, they went Saturday.
And then the Viking game Sunday and came home on the red eye. Not the better for wear, but
no, I'm sure they weren't.
Now I would have stayed in Vegas and just partied and went
and watched all the football games. Yes. I'm with you on that.
So, but
and they went to that Clippers game, Clippers-Wolves game. Those poor people. Oh, yuck.
To switch topics only briefly, there was an 8 to 10 minute period Friday night versus the Lakers. When the Wolves were one of the five best teams in NBA history. They were unbelievable. They made the Lakers look like complete fools.
Yep.
Cat was a monster.
Yep.
He was a monster.
The greatest moment of Dave Benz's life.
Making threes. They were so good that it was garbage time for the other team in the fourth quarter. Now, LeBron wasn't playing, but I don't think it would have made any difference. They were playing at 10 miles an hour faster than the Lakers were playing.
I watched the entire game.
Unbelievable. So now Saturday,
yep.
I was busy and running around and doing stuff. So I was going to check in to see how they were doing. I don't know, 10 o'clock at night or whatever the hell time it was. But I first looked on my phone. They were behind by 30.
I know.
I said, they're back, baby.
Yep.
They're back.
Yep. Yep. I was watching Kraken Wild between periods. I flipped to the Wolves to look at the score, and they're down by like 27.
Yeah.
I said, okay, don't have to go back to this game.
No. Unbelievable.
Poor Benzie.
Yeah, that was a bad
spin
one.
That one, baby.
I think Benzie will celebrate that Laker win for
But he was talking about, you know, how difficult it is to sweep both those teams in Staples and how, you know, oh, man, the Wolves have this chance.
The Clippers were 1-6 disappointment before they came here and beat these, made these guys look like idiots twice. And then they made them look like idiots again. So, anyway. But, yeah, it was, yeah. Where now that new stadium is right out next to where the Forum used to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Out there. It's right out there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, which is not that close,
is
right?
Is that an old racetrack or something?
Yes.
Okay. Hollywood Park.
One of those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They tore it down, built that, and the Forum's still there. The airport's right there, right?
Yes.
I think that's right
next to the airport.
Right.
The Forum's there.
Where the airport is.
Forum
and the Clippers are going to build. The Clippers are going to build a building there that's going to open in a couple of years.
Oh, that's where they're moving out there to.
Same place. Yep.
Spending money. Yeah, I suppose Kroenke's giving them some money for that too.
Yeah. Good question. I don't know.
Yeah. So the Clippers, they're gonna have their own. So the Kings stay in downtown then, I would imagine.
Kings are yes.
They probably play the two of them against
at Staples
each other,
Center. Yep.
Well, that's. Walking in the Forum in Englewood, still one of the great moments of my life as a sports writer, 1984. A friend of mine from L.A. had been vacationing and a ball writer in Spain. And he got caught with chemicals on him. And he was in a Spanish prison in the winter. And Lasorda called Sinatra, who called the king, and got him out.
You're kidding?
No, got him out. Yeah, Lasorda. So, so this guy gave very good coverage to Lasorda after that.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he did. But I'm walking into the Forum with this gentleman who shall go nameless, and he said, Spain is playing the U.S. for the gold medal in basketball, and he says, I hate Bobby Knight so much, I want Spain to beat him.
Even though he was in carceration?
Even though they had him in a Spanish prison for a week or 10 days.
So Lasorda called Sinatra, who called
Sinatra the... Sinatra called the king, called King Juan Carlos, who was the boss of the country. You know, yeah. Was not only the king, but the president or something. So he got him out. That's a connection there.
I was going to say, yes, that's a hell of a connection.
That's why you, even though Tommy... had to drive you nuts with his raving ego.
Yes.
That's why you still kissed up to him. Yeah. A, to be there for the tirades, yep. And B, in case you're in a Spanish prison.
I wouldn't want him mad.
No.
At
no.
Me probably either.
No, if he wanted revenge on you.
Yeah, that might be.
You'd be driving home and the state patrol would pick you up,
yep.
And search your entire car and plant something on you.
Yep.
If Tommy
or your brakes might just be cut.
Yes, right. Something like that. Yeah. Tommy, I would think there was no top to Tommy's revenge if he wanted to get you, I would
the
say.
The Tommy meltdown that you can find on YouTube on Kurt Pavakwa remains one of my top five.
Well,
Earl Weaver,
my
Tommy.
Friend Wicker had some fantastic stories about Tommy in the dugout with his pal Petey Guerrero. some byplay with Petey Guerrero that is pretty fantastic. There's also the legend of, remember the Mike Marshall that was the outfielder?
Yes.
And he never played?
Yeah, I remember.
There's a famous story when Petey comes in and Lasorda's sitting there and Mike Marshall was on the bench and Petey walks over and points at him and says, hey, Sorta, when is this short C word going to play? Teamwork, baby, teamwork.
What's the clip? I think it's from the 77 World Series where Lasorda goes to the mound to take out the pitcher. I forget.
Yeah.
And he's like, he won't give him the ball. Give me the effing ball. And then just goes on this great tirade.
Yes, right.
Give me the effing ball.
I'm the
manager here.
Telling the pitcher how bad
he is. Yeah, you'll shut up. You can't get anybody out. It's absolutely classic.
It is.
Rocco would not do that.
No, Rocco would not. He would, you know, nobody fights to keep the ball anymore because they know it's...
No, because you're out after three.
Yeah, he said, yeah, what the hell? They're going to let me pitch three anyway, so what difference does it make? Meanwhile, in Iowa City...
Oh, God.
It was hard to lose that game. It was a noble effort.
Did you look at the stats?
Oh, yeah.
It's damn near impossible.
409 to 277.
Yep.
But the time of possession... You know, there's time of possession...
when you're playing Nebraska and getting beat 84-13 and they score too fast.
Yep.
But this was time of possession when you're kicking the ass of a bad offense. They're terrible offensively. God, yeah. Offensively, they hit two. They hit a couple of passes, but yep. but to avoid. Somebody told me they were listening to the Gopher broadcast. I like the Grimmer as well as everybody, but apparently when they were kicking the field goals, the theory was you had to put the points on the board when you can. And then later in the fourth quarter, they really screwed up by not going for touchdowns. You know, so.
Oh, really? They switched their course? I'm surprised they switched course.
Yeah. So
you're
what's wrong with
you? Fourth and goal to two. You're fourth and goal to two.
Yeah,
you're running the ball and there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you, I mean, it's near the end of the half, obviously, but that when they kick that one, right, the end of the half. How about Iowa, though, trying to give them a last chance? Take over on the three-yard line, score a touchdown.
Ferentz coached a terrible game.
Yes.
He gave his kid, you know.
Nepotism.
Yeah, but where's Kirk to say, hey, kid, yeah. No.
Run in the end zone.
What are you doing? They're on the doorstep of the end zone.
3 yard.
And they basically took knees.
Yes. Yeah. Score a touchdown. Yeah. What a bunch of idiots. So what if you fumble down there? What difference does it make?
Yeah. You get picked off, tackle the guy. Just, you know.
They gave him that last year.
But PJ is, I honestly think, one of the worst big-time in-game coaches I've ever seen in this town. He's awful in-game.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't think we felt that way the first couple of years, right? Did we?
No, not the first couple. I think we started to catch on to it.
I think he's trying to protect something that's not really... He's trying to protect, like, this...
But what?
...legacy of excellence that he thinks he has here, and he doesn't. I mean, it's like he's oh, man, I've built this thing. No, you haven't. He's coaching like he's trying to not only protect that game, but protect, like, I don't know, for tough football or whatever.
It's your first drive. You're down by three. It's fourth and goal at the two. You're running the football easily.
Yeah.
And that's when you say, got to take the points?
Yeah. Well, if they stop you, so what? Yeah. They're on the one, right?
Yeah. And they're probably not going to stop you.
No. But even if they do, so what? I'd rather have a team on the one than 3 points.
But how can you feed people all the stuff he does, which is this positive, take control of life message, and then in football games, cower when you got the opportunity to show that what you say should have some meaning? That's what I don't understand.
And what is interesting is everybody wants to blame it on Sanford.
I don't think he's good either.
Apologist. He's doing what Fleck wants him to do. You think it's Mike Sanford's idea to not go for it on fourth and two? That's not his decision. That's Fleck.
Nope.
Is it his decision to, you know, run the ball 85% of the time with his fifth string running back?
Soraka must have been pretty damn good.
Yes.
He must have been good.
I got a hint. Bring him back.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
got fired at Penn State and
West Virginia
now. He's like advisor.
Yeah, he's an advisor. But
yeah.
He seemed to have influence. He seemed to have influence with Fleck that these other guys don't have.
Yes, absolutely. You
know, he would just, I think he ran the offense.
But back to your question, how do you lose that game?
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing. I looked at the stats. It was damn near impossible to lose that game.
Is there anything more ridiculous in football, and in there's nothing more ridiculous than the AP college basketball poll, right? Which if somebody's unbeaten and they haven't played anybody, they're still going to move to number one. And then, but is there anything more ridiculous than a poll that would declare Iowa to be the second team and the number two ranked team in the country because they kicked the crap out of Maryland?
No.
You know?
No, I mean, it's a waste of
everybody's time, yes. And, you know, the other thing about college football, since I'm going, sorry, Cincinnati, in a four-team playoff, You don't belong. Mm-hmm. Not when you're fighting Tulsa. Not when you're fighting to beat Tulsa. Not when you have, I heard this on TV. I obviously didn't look it up. The 100 and, out of 125 teams now, the 102 rated schedule. Mm-hmm. And you haven't been good for a month, basically. They fight to beat Tulane and Tulsa. If they put them in instead of Ohio State or somebody, it's ridiculous.
They won't.
Yeah, if they play Georgia, they'll get beat.
The committee knows that it's their job to pick the four best teams that people want to see on television.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
you know, Cincinnati does have the one. I don't think you can take Notre Dame either because Cincinnati beat them.
No, probably not, but I'm fine with that.
Cincinnati beat them in South
Bend. But I don't want a feel-good school because the odds are very strong. They're just going to get their ass kicked.
Yes. Well, Notre Dame has gotten in with a, you know, decent nine, and they've gotten their ass kicked the last two times they've been in it. Now, Cincinnati might be better than them because they beat them in Notre Dame two months ago.
That's fine. They both don't belong.
Neither of them belong. It's Georgia, Alabama, and the Big Ten team, Ohio State, and Oregon. That's it right now. So,
yep. And that's fine.
Big 12 is, by the way, speaking of the Big 12, Coach Kill's second game didn't go quite as well as the first one.
Oh, how bad was it?
Last I saw, Oklahoma State was ahead of them 50-10 or something like that, and Oklahoma State's had a terrible offense.
He's not going to try to keep this job, right? Okay, all right.
I think he might have had dreams 2 weeks ago when they won the upset opener in the opener, but not now. You know who's a hell of a coach for all the bad pub he's gotten? Lane Kiffin.
Oh, he's absolutely crazy, but
he's nuts. Ole Miss, he's got.
I know.
He's got Ole Miss.
He's turned sort of petulant and surly too. It's funny to watch.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, he goes someplace and he wins.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, it depends on where, but yes.
Yeah, well, Southern Cal would take him now compared to what you know. Southern Cal ran him off.
Yep.
Because he wasn't winning 10 a year, and now they're, you know. Now they're.
How about Texas? Sarkisian. He lost. He got drubbed by Iowa State, right?
Yes. Then he lost at home to Kansas.
Yeah.
57-56.
Yeah.
Kansas, which Chip saw Kansas 2 weeks ago because he was down there for father daughter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He said the whole group of them could only stay for 30 minutes because Kansas was so terrible. He said it looked like a Division III team physically. And then they go to Texas in Austin.
Yeah.
Beat them 57-56. First time they've lost five in a row since 1956. Wow. But I looked it up. It only cost $24 million to fire Tom Herman and his staff. Who knows Sarkisian? Who is this?
I don't know, but I don't. He's a coordinator.
Is the AD?
I was shocked he got the job.
Did the AD have him at Washington 15 years
ago? I was absolutely shocked he got that job.
Yeah.
But that's Texas football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Makovic, remember when he was down there way back when? They hated him because he was going 7-4, 8-3, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're going into the SEC.
And they've always contended that the next coach is going to turn things around and it's going to be fine.
But this can't be the guy they thought they were going to hire, but they hired him fairly quickly.
Yes, they did. I think it was.
Wow.
He's a coordinator.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
Yeah. Well, he got fired at Southern Cal basically because of his drinking problem, but supposedly quit drinking.
But I mean, I don't think
he's not drinking now. He's got that sobriety thing down pat.
He might be tempted after that loss.
Losing at home to Kansas might have him sit home and say, I think I'll just have one gin and tonic.
Texas losing to Kansas, to me, is more shocking than the Gophers loss to Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Bowling Green loss is a terrible loss, but I think Texas losing at home to Kansas is more shocking.
I was on that campus once, and I can't remember for what, but somebody, I was with him, and somebody says, looking in the stadium and the tower and the whole, it's gorgeous, and saying, how can you not win 10 a year here, you know? And especially in the old, I think that might have still been the Big 8 days. Yeah, wow. And they still have this incredible influence. They had their own record. They still have their own network.
The Longhorn Network, I think, still exists.
Yeah.
Now, it might not now if they're going to switch conferences, but yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I think they made a run at Saban and got Nick a new contract at Bama like 8 years, 6-8 years back.
Yeah.
Because their whole thing. And
he might have.
He probably could have saved him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he could have, but. Yeah, it was. I saw that and I said, "What? Who's that? Texas State? Did they play or North Texas or somebody? No, they played Texas on the road. Iowa State, by the way, flop of the year. They were supposed to be top 10, right? 8 in the country or something.
Yeah, they were. Yes. In fact, when they played Iowa, weren't they both top 5?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like 4 or 5or something like that.
They've lost like 4. They've lost 4, so they're not.
I wonder if he's going to leave.
All of a sudden, Matt Campbell.
That's what I was going to say.
This is when you're, there's jobs. I mean,
you might say
Washington opened up, but I don't know if that's a great job or not. Washington, they're like us, they're in they're in the market where they're like the fifth attraction now.
Right.
Now that you got a hockey team and you got the Seahawks and you got, they're probably as popular as the baseball team.
Pac-12 doesn't feel like. A lot of that credibility is still there.
No, it's not like I've been out to a bunch of Rose Bowls, and when Southern Cal came out for a Rose Bowl, it was here they are, fellas, look out, or and if somebody had been Washington, that great Washington team that split, I was out for that one when they split the national title.
Was that Don James' coach team?
Yeah, when they split the national title with Miami. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
They won the coaches poll, and Miami won the. They used to come out on a sun splash day in Southern Cal, and those uniforms are. There is something there. You got the horse and the whole thing, and the great uniforms and the great running backs and the whole thing, but you also have. Wicker always told me that the Southern Cal football fans and the UCLA basketball fans are identical because they're all now 75 years old and think it should be like it was with Wooden and like it was with John Robinson and, and it's not.
John McKay.
Yeah, John McKay and those guys. And it's not,
It's not even close.
Yeah. So, but, you're right. It's that'd still be. Southern Cal's never been famous for paying a lot of money, but apparently PJ convinced these guys that he might have a chance to get the job because he gave him the
PJ race. Must have put a couple jobs out there that he was going to pursue, right?
Why do you want to do that in the middle of the season? Do it next year. I mean, do it if you're going to do it.
The extension?
Do it in January. Yeah. We gave him.
Probably very. He's probably convincing. Probably goes to him and tells him, "Hey, look, I'm talking to the guy with Southern Cal."
Well, he doesn't say it. He's got the agent doing it.
Sure,
he's in the hunt at LSU. He had the same chance to get an LSU job as I did.
He would fail so miserably with a big time program.
You know who the hot ticket for there was James Franklin, but I don't think that's happening now.
What the hell happened to Penn State?
I don't know. They lost 4.
I was watching it Saturday. They lost to Harbaugh and Michigan, which, they're good, but they're not.
Yeah. Well, they're not exploding. They got a quarterback who, might not beat out Tanner Morgan.
That quarterback drives you crazy, though, because he'll make a few really nice throws, and the next throw will sail. Oh, yes. Yeah. And the next throw will sail 10 feet over the receiver's head.
Well, he came there. He was about the number 5 quarterback, and the guys kept failing. And that Milton, who started here against the Gophers last year and ripped them up, they ran him off. He's at West Virginia or someplace. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, he took off.
They didn't have a problem here.
No. No, they kicked.
I was at that game.
So now I had people telling me that the Gophers already have won 3 more games than they expected. Well, in basketball,
yeah,
I expected them to beat Kansas City. Okay, the sixth projected to finish 6th in the Summit. Okay,
okay,
I was not surprised, and. Kansas City was as mediocre as I anticipated. They had 2 good players. And the Gophers, you know, they've had their bad moments, but they won that one. Western Kentucky was picked high in that league. They're in the Sun Belt or whatever it is. And they had a lot of size, so I was kind of surprised the Gophers beat them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't have a parade for beating Princeton in double
overtime.
That's
a small one?
Not in double overtime. Now, it's nice that they're 3-0.
Yeah.
But I have a question. What was the number one criticism of Tibbs?
Minutes.
Too many minutes.
Minutes. We were worried about the minutes.
Where the hell are the minutes, police? Where are
the
minutes?
Do we got problems with minutes?
They're playing five
guys. Hold on. I got to pull up the paper.
Pull up the day's paper.
I haven't even looked at the minutes.
He's only played seven guys.
Oh, my God. We have minutes violations?
No. Minutes violations are unbelievable. Get the box score.
Hold on. Yep. C-12. Perfect.
C-12.
Back on paper.
This is double overtime now. I'll admit that. So there were 50 minutes in the game.
Yeah, here we go. Battle, 48.
48 out of 50.
Curry, who's my age.
Yeah, Curry, who's your age and has had 18 different injuries.
33.
Low?
43. Stevens, 47.
Yes.
Willis, 45.
Yes.
And then you played three guys, 19, 12, and two.
Yes, and the two was...
Oh, my God, you're right.
I think the two was the first minutes that the eighth guy has played so far.
Is it Thiem? Thiam?
I don't know who it was, but he hadn't been playing. They've been playing seven guys.
But 19, 12, and 2.
But it's been this way every game. The minutes have been...
Well, where are they?
Peyton Willis is being used like James Harden in the NBA Finals.
What are they doing to Curry, though? Eric Curry.
Eric
this poor guy.
Eric Curry goes from grad assistant to starting center to Iron Man.
Yeah.
He can't get off the floor.
He must leave on a gurney.
He can't get off the floor.
Oh, my God. I did not realize that.
So, So it's the minutes police are really sleeping on the job here. It's
how many of these guys are going to last till the Big Ten starts?
No. Eric Curry. If you think Eric Curry's going to go get to the finish line, they play.
I hope he's pulling himself out of games at times.
30. Well, he's. I'm not sure how athletic he was before his several injuries, but he doesn't get down the floor quickly.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't.
But they run some. But the other thing is Willis got to the basket for like five layups in the last overtime. I got a hunch when you face a real athletic defender with a little more strength that probably might not happen.
Oh, yeah, the big
Princeton looked like a pretty dang good MIAC team, you know, although their pick, I think, finished third in the Ivy League. But,
this is remarkable, Pat.
Oh, yeah. It's been that way all three games. I looked at the box score after the opener and didn't realize he'd only played seven games.
Like the days of Taj. Taj Gibson played like...
Bussy.
Yeah.
The Iron Five. We got the Iron Five back.
Tim Hansen.
Yeah, Timmy.
You remember when they put...
That was with Dutch, though, right?
Dutch.
Yeah, it was with
It's when they had the issue in Madison, and they came back and played the Buckeyes.
Iron Five, yes.
And I think they had to basically get rid of a bunch of players, and so they recruited football players.
Didn't they?
Tim Hansen played like the entire game, and
I think they won. Didn't they have a big upset right
off
the bat?
Yes, I think they beat the Buckeyes.
Then they lost the next 15
years. Yeah, because that was...
But Mussie, after the fight with Ohio State, had the original Iron Five.
Oh, really?
Because they lost Corky Taylor and B. Hagen, got suspended. So they'd already recruited Winnie out of the Intramural League, and he was like the seventh man, and then he had to play the whole freaking game after that. And that was the Iron Five was
interesting.
I didn't realize
that was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first Iron Five, and they won the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Muss had no problems with playing people.
No, God, no. Muss
especially when it came to the Timberwolves.
Muss, Tibbs, the troika of minute monsters. Muss, Tibbs, and Ben Johnson. He's got
minutes monsters.
I don't know. I can't remember if Thorson's De La Salle teams, if he'd play five guys for, they used to win by 50.
Well, who did Tibbs have, who did Muss have here? Tony Campbell. Like, he played all those
Cody
guys.
Campbell
he wouldn't
time.
Take him off the court.
He took Pooh off the court because he'd play Sidney Lowe's and he would back it up a little bit. But Tony, Tyrone Corbin.
Tyrone
played forever.
Was Sam here? Mitchell at the
Sam,
time?
Sam, when he had Sam, he played him forever, too. Yeah.
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 And then you bring in, like, was it Scott Roth?
But once in a while, you'd look of Scott Roth and you'd see his, you know, he'd play 8-8-8. Then he'd play 36 if he had some matchup he liked or something. Yeah, but
Minutes Monsters.
Oh, they used to.
That sounds like a column to me. The Minutes Monsters.
Well, Mussie's, the best ever was when they called Mussie up and said, demanded that he play Gerald Glass, you know, because he was the second first rounder. He must hated him. He was out of shape. He didn't guard anybody. And so he gets called up to the office. Stein, Marv, I don't think Harvey bothered to go. And they demanded that this is near the end of his second year. He had to play Glass. Musk comes back down to the court after practice and Eric's assistant then, and Eric said, he said, what was that about? He said, they demanded I play Gerald Glass. And Eric said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to play the guys that can win for us. Gerald Glass, 0 minutes. And then he came in and looked at Marv at the post-game press conference and said, we played the guys we thought we should win, that could win for us. And then he got fired. That guaranteed that he'd be gone.
What did they expect, though, when they hired Bill? That was always my question. That was Musselman to a T.
Yes. Yeah. And
he didn't change.
No. So then they brought in Jimmy Rogers.
Oh, God.
And created, a legacy of, 30-190 or something. I mean, his record was unbelievable. They thought this was better.
Yeah.
And then they still didn't win the lottery, so it didn't make any difference. So
Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah, but Banna's, I think someone should write a heartfelt ode to say, Jim. Yeah, I mean, Ben, come on. The Minutes Police are getting nervous.
Eric Curry's like, why did I come back?
Yes, I could be coaching.
My poor body. I'm broken down.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, kind of wish I'd been at the Gopher women's game yesterday. Did you read that? Mm. Look at that. Mm. The Fighting Whalens, after a nice win at Arizona State Friday, come back yesterday against George Washington. I didn't even know they were playing, but I read this story today. The Gophers shot 31% and won easily. Georgetown shot 19%. And the score was 46.
19%?
46. What's the score? 46 to 30.
I got that right here. 48 to 32.
48 to 32.
19%.
Yes. Wow. That would have... You know, the old Patrick 30 years ago might have saw that game and...
Oh, no, that'd be bad. No, don't say it.
Not today.
Don't say it.
You couldn't say it now.
George Washington's leading scorer, someone named Moore, had 8 points.
Yeah, well, look, 19%.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it must have been...
The Gophers had two players in double figures, 17 and 14, and that was it.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo! I bet Kent was not pleased about that performance.
Kent was probably a little upset, to say the least. But, that was a bad weekend. But the Wild, meanwhile, it's kind of funny to look at the standings and see them in first place in the West.
Yep.
I mean, they've been, last year they had a really good year, but they never were in first place. They're 10-4.
Yeah.
Even with the Vegas game.
First place in the Central, right? That's.
But the whole Western Conference, I think.
Oh, are they?
I think they are.
Let me see here. Edmonton. No.
Oh, no.
22 for Edmonton, 21 for. Okay. 21 for the Ducks.
Yes. I thought they were terrible, and they won 7.
They were supposed to be awful.
They're unbeaten since they fired Murray for saying bad things to people in the front office.
So the Ducks played here 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually rode down to the locker rooms with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ducks had gotten screwed by a call. Somebody told me that Bob was so upset, he put a hole in the press box wall which they then had to move a garbage can in front of to cover it
really?
Up.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Which led me to ask this question, Patrick. How long would Ron Curran have lasted as a GM in this league today?
Yes, that's true. I mean, hockey guys, there's no suggestion that any of his stuff was sexual, right?
No, he was abusive. He was verbally abusive.
He was verbably abusive scouts who screwed up, to general
managers. He probably yelled at secretaries as well.
Yes, he probably. Anybody,
Jack Ferrer used to do that.
Anybody who made a mistake.
Got yelled at.
He yelled at. That's life. That's life.
Ryan Curran would have lasted a half hour with the Blues. Pounding the Met Center press box.
Yes.
Effing Featherstone! Yelling at the top of his lungs. So let me see here. A former...
Streaking out of the press box at the end of each period to go downstairs and pound on the referee.
A former player who develops a drinking problem and is named GM of a hockey team. That's the story of half the NHL at one point.
Yes.
Or more at one point.
Yes. I'm laughing at hockey guys, you know, everybody that... If it's sexual... Okay, bring it up.
Right.
But if he's screaming at someone for not doing their job, that's life.
But somebody called the hot. But now the league says we've got this hotline, and if you don't like something, you call the hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell us about it.
So what is the line that can't be crossed?
You can't yell at people now.
You can you tell someone they're doing a horse bleep job in a calm voice?
You know what? You probably now need to start a paper trail to fire them before you do that.
No, but I mean, I don't think
no, I know what you're saying.
Firing people. This is just telling
people. Well, I think you can motivate them in a positive way, but if I called you, if you get called in and you're told that you're doing a horse bleep job.
Okay, so what if I do that once in a calm way, and then I do it the second time and you're still doing that in a firmer way, but a firmer way.
Yeah, I hear you.
And then by number three, I'm screaming at you.
Call
that's
hotline.
It. Call the
you're
hotline.
Done. You're done. I got a new boss, and I'm still not working any harder than I was. It's time to call the hotline.
Oh man, I never really had a crazy one. Crazy boss was a screamer.
No, I was. I came in after the screamers had left, which is really too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple very intense ones.
Yeah.
Early on the copy desk, but a lot of them had calmed down.
But when I came in,
you would have had a much better chance
at the St. Paul paper on the desk.
Yep,
there would be tantrums thrown and screaming among not with the boss but with your coworkers.
Oh yeah, oh I saw those.
The coworkers.
Yeah.
So when Wayne Wangstead told Buzz Bissinger. Later, the author of Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
On a Saturday night. What are you doing? What the bleep are you doing back there? I need that bleeping copy. And then Buzz yells back at him. What do you think I'm doing back here? Pleasuring myself? But he didn't say that, you know.
Yeah.
Then Wayne threatened to come back and pinch his head off.
Yeah.
Buzz could have called the hotline then.
Buzz could call the hotline, yes.
Buzz was going to call the hotline.
I actually saw there was one time one of our Wolves reporters missed deadline, and I saw a guy on the copy desk break his phone.
Yeah.
Because he called up to say, I'm not filing yet, I can't file, and it was
that wasn't a
Saturday
guy from
night.
Duluth, was it,
No.
Spent too much time down in the locker room?
No. Mm-hmm. It was a Wolves gamer. And the guy called to basically say, bleep off, I don't have my story done yet. And instead of hanging up the phone calmly, the person on the desk took the phone and beat it against the thing about 18 times
We used to have the phone that was wired in, you know, that had a big, thick cord on it. I can't remember what it was, but I took it one day and threw it.
Yep, that would get hotline.
And it went back.
Hotline.
It went about 15 feet and came flying back.
I'm calling
I can't remember what that was about, but we used to be screaming at each other all the time.
Oh,
man.
God, yeah.
You know, that was kind of the fun of newspapering because then you'd go, then you would have your human resources meeting at the court bar.
Yep,
or the,
where you would iron it all out because
yes.
You'd get so drunk you didn't care anymore.
Right. Oh, God.
Oh, there's some great.
Call the hotline. Not letting.
There were some great ones with employees.
Not letting.
Not bosses.
Not letting hockey guys scream at the help is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. That's hockey.
Well, the thing is, we don't know.
It's the one where the coaches can. I don't even think of are the coaches soon not going to be able to verbally abuse the players?
I don't think they do anymore. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't think a lot of them do.
Mike Keenan's got no chance.
No, hotline. That's another hotline.
The hotline. Oh, yeah. They'd have that hotline at their lockers.
Well, that whole list of guys that came right before Keenan, Tessier with the Blackhawks.
Yes.
He abused his players constantly.
Jacques.
What? Mahoney. Bill Mahoney.
Yeah, everybody.
With Rob Lear. Get out of my office, young man.
Who's the French guy, Jacques, that always kept getting jobs?
Jacques Demers.
Who was abusive as hell.
Yeah.
Sonmore's quote on him was he's got a 4-year contract and a 2-year act.
Yep.
And he would have by the second year, they'd all hate him.
But the first year, it'd be great.
Yeah.
And then by the second year, he'd be exposed.
Yes, right.
But yeah, no, he'd be in trouble too.
Yeah.
Bob Murray.
Herbie.
Oh.
You think Herbie would have won the gold medal? He would have lost his job.
Rob McClanahan would have called the hotline between periods.
Yes, right.
Would have had him out.
Yes, right.
Doc would have been coaching the team Craig Patrick for the third period.
Yes, that's right. They would have.
McClanahan would have called up. I got bad news for you.
There was no place he ever coached that they wouldn't have been calling the hotline.
God, he was a beaut.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
All right.
You got anything else? All right.
Outstanding weekend for the Vikings. Fleck fails again. And, now Fleck, however, I don't think, they have a tradition of losing in Indiana under incredible circumstances. Some of their best wins were followed by, back in the day, were followed by losses at Indiana.
Yep.
But is this one of the biggest flops in college football? I mean, this Indiana guy who's a lunatic.
Yeah.
Comes in last year. He has a good quarterback and he wins a bunch of games and they're rated, 12th in the country or something.
And everyone says, turn around.
Their back is Indiana. They're 0-7.
Yep.
They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They got beat by 40 by Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
which is also terrible.
Let's not be calling this Indiana week, as I'm going to throw up.
Oh, so. No, this is most definitely. It's not just Hoosier week, Pat. It's Hoosier championship.
I looked it up. If it's, I don't know how a four-way tie comes out, but if the Gophers, if Iowa wins Saturday against Illinois, which they should, but probably not 100%, then the Gophers can't win the division. But if Wisconsin, the Gophers, and Iowa all end up 6-3,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin would win it because only one of their losses is in the West. But if it's a four-way tie with Purdue, I have no idea. If they all end up 6-3, I have no idea.
We'll get screwed. We always get screwed.
We deserve it because we've have these noble wins over whoever the hell it was. But anyway.
All right.
That's it.
Talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy, Josh, will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Your dog is more than just your bestie with the cutest face ever. Get to know them on a genetic level with Embark Vet. Developed by veterinarians and PhDs, Embark screens for more than 215 genetic health risks across more than 350 breeds. It's top-notch science for your top-notch pup. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.